Gravitas Impact offers a global community of the world's top business coaches. We strive to empower our coaches and clients alike to achieve their extraordinary goals.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Kupp, CEO of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches. And this podcast is for CEOs and leaders in the mid-market as they grow their companies to greatness. Today, we'll be discussing building a breakthrough leadership team with a senior coach in Gravitas and two-time author, Mike Goldman, based out of the New Jersey, New York area. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Keith. Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure to have you here. So let's get a fast start as we normally do. Mike, if you had to distill the essence of your book down into, hey, this is the thesis of the book so that CEOs and leaders listening in get it right from the start, how would you describe that to the listening audience?
The thesis of the book is that the biggest difference between a great company and a failing company is the leadership team. For most organizations, if there's a problem with not enough sales coming in, well, you're going to go to the sales team and look at their process. If there's a customer service problem, you're going to go down and look at customer service and make sure you have the right people. If there's an operations problem, you're going to take a look at your warehouses and your process there. And my thesis is those are all symptoms of a bigger problem, and that bigger problem always starts with a problem at the leadership team level.
Okay. So if there's a problem in a functional area or out in the company, you're saying, hey, we always have to trace the issue back to the root, which is the executive leadership team. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to go deep on that in a few minutes, but first, tell us a little bit about your business background and your coaching career.
So I've spent about 30 years in coaching and consulting. First half of my career was consulting for a couple of big companies. Some of our audience may know a company called Accenture. Although when I was there way back, they weren't called Accenture yet. They were still Arthur Anderson or Anderson Consulting. But worked for a company called Accenture, another company called Deloitte. And back then, first half of my career was consulting to Fortune 500 companies, did a whole bunch of work with Disney, Polo Ralph Lauren, Chanel, Liz Claiborne, and others. Last half of my career has been coaching to small and mid-market companies, really around the areas of leadership, culture, strategy, execution. Wrote a book called Performance Breakthrough, The Four Secrets of Passionate Organizations about 7 years ago. And excited about my new book called Breakthrough Leadership Team really takes a whole new perspective on the importance of leadership teams and really fits with what I do. What I do day in and day out is I'm a leadership team coach working with mid-market companies to help them create great leadership teams so they can create great companies.
Okay, good. Thank you for that, Mike. And I'll just share with the audience too. Mike and I have served by going to Central Africa in helping build an entrepreneurial program there. So I can say, listening audience, that Mike is not only a great leadership team development coach, but a man with a great purpose in life of giving back. So, Mike,
Keith, on a different webinar, we'll spend time on our near death experience over there.
Okay, that's right. That would be wonderful. So, every problem can be traced. Key problems can be traced back to the senior leadership team. So, in your book, Mike, what is the problem you're working to solve for the senior leadership team?
The problem I'm looking to solve is really how you become a great company. And let me dive down into that, because as a coach, the prospects that come to me and the clients that I work with, they all have different problems, but it all comes down to the fact that they want to create something great. But what does that really mean? And what that boils down to is really three different things. You know, one is about the numbers. They want to create a company with consistent, significant top and bottom line growth. So that's number one, revenue growth, profit growth. Number two, and in my mind, just as important, if not more important, is they want to create a growing, fulfilling environment for their employees. And in my mind, the reason why we're looking for top and bottom line growth is not so we can all put more money in our pockets, is that that cash that results from that becomes the oxygen we need so that we can create growing, learning, fulfilling environments for our employees, number one, and so we can add value to society. And when I say society, you could look at that narrowly and say, well, society means value for our clients, but it also means value to society, bigger picture than that. Like Keith, you mentioning the trip we took to Central Africa together. So great company boils down to those three things: top and bottom line growth, fulfilling, learning, growing environment for employees, and value to society. At some level, the great CEOs and great leadership teams want that. And what I want to do through my coaching and through this book is help them get there quicker, healthier, and in a more holistic way.
Okay. And in a few minutes, I want to get practical and some further principles there, Mike. But talk a little bit about why you wrote this book. Was it data? Was it experience? How did you create a passion to address this topic?
It's based on both, and I'd say more experience than anything. You know, I spent my life, as I said, coaching and consulting, and even back from the Fortune 500 days, I won't mention the company name, but I worked for a multi-billion-dollar retailer. And one of the projects we worked on was a project that literally in a day we figured out how to save them $30 million that would go right to the bottom line. And I realized when I came into work the next day that nothing had changed. People still did the same thing every day. They still didn't like their jobs. And at the time they were still waiting for the CEO, who was CEO number three over the last 6 years. They were basically waiting for that CEO to get fired, which would eventually happen. And they were, you know, really playing passive aggressive, making believe they were fully behind everything, but they were just waiting for that CEO to get fired and wait for the next CEO to come on board. So they were marking time, and they just had a job, and it wasn't all that fulfilling. And you know, I looked at that and it really, I'll be honest, made me sick at the pit of my stomach that we were doing all this work and people were still going into work every day, kind of walking dead as zombies, just waiting until that day they could retire and marking time. And what I realized, that being one example of many, is that it wasn't about saving money or even making money. It was about creating a fulfilling environment. And when I looked at the organizations I worked with that had great leadership teams, they were able to both make that money, but also create this amazing environment for their employees to work within. And you know, I've got an example of a client right now that through this, you know, COVID-19 pandemic that we're working through, they were a great leadership team before all this. And because of the resiliency, the quality, the collaboration, the trust on that leadership team, they've been able to get through this in such an amazing way and actually become stronger on the other side of this, not because they had a particularly great strategy, not because they're in a specific industry, but because they had a great leadership team, they are thriving and they're going to be stronger on the other side of this. And I see that consistently in the clients that I'm working with.
So Mike, walk us through that company and what does it feel, smell, look, and taste like to have a growing, learning, fulfilling environment or culture? What is that like?
So the way I would define what I call a breakthrough leadership team is a breakthrough leadership team, number one, is a team of A players. It is absolutely a team of people that you could look at and say, if I had to do it all over again, if I'm the CEO and I had to do it all over again, I would absolutely enthusiastically hire every person on my leadership team. So it's got to be a team of A players. It's a team that has a collaborative, inspiring culture. As a leadership team, I talk a lot with my clients about culture for the company, but it's got to start with that collaborative, inspiring, trusting culture as a leadership team, and that cascades down. It is a leadership team that executes with discipline and accountability every single day. And it's a leadership team that, even if they consider themselves a incredibly high functioning team today, the learning and growing never ends. The great leadership teams are assessing their talent every quarter, and they're assessing their learning every quarter, and they're learning together and learning separately and growing every week, every month, every quarter, learning and growing together.
So Mike, here is a difficult question, I believe. As you work with companies and talk to your peer coaches worldwide, a typical company operating in steady state, how close are they to having a breakthrough leadership team versus how much work do they often have to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would say having a breakthrough leadership team is a little bit more like a North Star than a finish line. I don't think you wake up one day. In fact, I know you don't wake up one day and say, I have a breakthrough leadership team. My job is done. We're great. I can go play golf now. So it's a never-ending process. Now, certainly, you know, when I have something called the Breakthrough Leadership Team Assessment, which I think we'll offer to the listeners before we're done today, there is an assessment that I have that helps you understand where you are on that continuum and where, not only where you are, but what you really need to work on. And I would say, you know, most companies are somewhere to the beginning or the middle of that continuum. Most companies have a whole lot of work to do. And I would say the initial work very often, and different companies may start in different places, but in my work with clients and my dozens of interviews with CEOs and coaches, as I did my research for the book, I would say the biggest problem area and the biggest mistake that 9 out of 10 of the CEOs made is that they kept the wrong person or the wrong people on the leadership team too long. So they made the mistake of hiring either from within or from the outside, someone that was never going to be more than a B or C player on their leadership team. And they kept those folks too long, and it really held their organization back. So that's typically where it starts, is getting being honest with yourself and getting ready to make that tough decision of who really belongs on that leadership team and who doesn't.
So let's run this a little bit further. I think I can probably feel and seeing CEOs and leaders lean in this part of the podcast. So Mike, there's a company out there right now where the CEO or leader has a leadership team, and on that leadership team is someone just as you described. They've been a loyal, hardworking person. However, the company has outgrown their leadership abilities. What should the CEO or leader do? How do they approach that?
So let me talk first about a process that I use with all of my leadership teams and with the CEO as an individual, but then let's dig in a little bit into why even with this process, people are CEOs and leaders are hesitant to make the right decision. So first off, you've got to have in place as a leadership team a quarterly process of assessing your talent one level down from the leadership team. And as a CEO, you've got to have a quarterly process in place where you're assessing the talent on your leadership team. And when I say assessing your talent, I mean it from two perspectives. One is certainly how productive someone is. What are their goals and how are they doing reaching those goals? And that's pretty typical. The thing that's not as typical is evaluating your leadership team and one level down on whether or not they're living your core values as an organization. Core values are a set of non-negotiable rules that define what's best and right and most noble about you as an organization, and they really anchor your culture. And in the assessment that I do with my leaders quarterly, we wind up, after looking at both core values and productivity, we wind up with A players, B players, C players, and then what I call toxic C players. And doing that process quarterly, we look at all of those levels, A, B, Cs, and toxic Cs. But to our point right now, and the biggest mistake leaders make is we look at those C's and toxic C's, and I ask my leaders one simple question. I say, is that person, that C or toxic C player we're looking at, are they coachable, or are we, or do we need to cut the cord? And now they're allowed to say they're coachable. We're not necessarily going to fire someone the moment they become a C player, but if they are coachable, then my leadership teams have accountability to each other. And this is what I ask them to commit to, is that 90 days later, when we do this assessment again, because again, we're going to do it every quarter, 90 days later, when we do the assessment, if that person is still here and they're still a C player, you might be the C player. We are not going to take anyone and make them a 6 month, 9 month, 12 month project when they're C players in the organization. If we're going to be a great company, we can't afford to have those folks weighing us down. And I have that same conversation with the CEO. So number one, you've got to have a process in place to understand who your C players are. Number two, you have to, as a CEO and as a leadership team, you have to be comfortable having those difficult conversations. And typically, Keith, the reason why people have difficulty with those conversations is we're good people. We don't want to fire people. That's a very hard thing to do. We feel loyalty to those folks. They've been with us sometimes for a long time. It's a hard decision to make. But I would also tell you, be brutally honest with yourself. Very often we're hesitant to have those tough conversations, not because we're worried about the other people. It's more because we're worried about ourselves. It's hard to have that tough conversation. It doesn't feel very good to have that tough conversation. But what I will say to you is, out of loyalty, you're making a big mistake. Number one, are you more loyalty towards the other 300 people in your organization than the one person who's dragging you down? And number two, I'd say even for that one person, I believe strongly everybody could be an A player somewhere. The longer you keep that person around in your organization, where they may never be more than a C player, you're also hurting them. So if you want to do right by them, have that difficult conversation, coach them out of the organization, if that what makes sense, and allow them to go be an A player somewhere else.
And Mike, I think this is a truism, and what you're saying is that C player actually could be more fulfilled and satisfied elsewhere, and you may be doing them a service for their life. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just a comment for listeners too. In my experience in business, exiting someone who has been loyal but no longer can rise to the leadership level does not have to be an adverse event. It can be done with grace and truth and affirmation and celebration. So it can be well orchestrated to the benefit of all. Okay, Mike, I want to pivot now and have you talk about the third point. So you talked about top and bottom line numbers, results, having a growing, learning, fulfilling environment or culture, but also value to society. Talk a little bit about that. If you have an example of a company you researched or work with, and then why is that important?
Yeah, it's important because it gets back to why you're in business in the first place. You know, as an organization, you need to have a core purpose. And that core purpose is not about making money. Money is a benefit you get. Money is the oxygen you need to run your business so that you can add some value to society. So great companies, breakthrough leadership teams need to think about why they're in business in the first place and what value they're adding to society. And again, society could mean your customers. Society could mean something bigger than that. Now, I'll make this very personal for me. There was a time many years ago when I thought my coaching business, the purpose of my coaching business, was all about helping companies grow. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a logical, valid purpose to have as a company. But what I've realized over the last few years is that's not really my purpose at all. My purpose is really about impacting as many people as possible to help them feel more fulfilled by what they do for a living. And I'll tell you a little story behind that. The reason why that's such an important purpose for me, and it sends chills up and down my spine, is I can remember back when I was a kid, my grandfather was the best person I ever knew. And I never knew a man who was prouder. I looked up to him. I wanted to be him one day. And he was about 75 years old, still working, you know, driving a cab for a living and taking a lot of pride in that. But his eyesight went and his heart was going, and, you know, he got fired from his job. And this proud man who I looked up to, best man I ever knew, for the last 2 years of his life, sat on the couch and kind of withered away and eventually and fairly quickly passed away. And I look at most of the world that spends their life working a job, actually looking forward to that day they could retire. And I don't get it, because when I think of retirement, I think of my grandfather wasting away on that chair. I don't understand why some would want to spend 50 years of their lives or 40 years of their lives doing something, waiting for that one day they can stop. I believe everybody should feel so fulfilled by what they do for a living that retirement is a dirty word. So that's critical to me in my life and very personal to me. And because that's my why, that's the value I want to add to society. That's why I wrote this book. That's why I do the coaching that I do. And I decided, well, how can I do that? I can go and try and talk to thousands of people to try to coach them individually to help them feel more fulfilled by what they do for a living. Or I could work with leadership teams to help create great leadership teams that can then create great companies where people can feel fulfilled and grow, and where retirement becomes a dirty word. That's the way I've decided to fulfill my purpose. If as an organization or a leader, you don't have a purpose that sends chills up and down your spine the way it does to me, then you have to realize that your organization may be running, maybe running at 30 miles per hour. But if you can get everybody behind a purpose that's important to you and important to them, then they're going to be running at 120 miles per hour. And it doesn't matter what brick wall is in their way. They're going to run through it to achieve that purpose day in and day out.
Mike, I always appreciate how you passionately live life and do what you do. As our time comes to a close here in the next few minutes, let's now get very practical. So we've got leaders listening in. What action can they take, tool they can embrace? What can they do to put action, practical action, behind some of these principles?
So Keith, let me quickly just identify kind of the six key areas of the book where they do need to take action, but then I'll settle in on one most important thing.
Perfect.
And the six areas from the book are, you know, number one, if you're going to have a great leadership team, each member of your leadership team needs to be great at self-leadership. So number one, you need to be continuously learning and improving. You need to be able to manage your emotional state, focus on what you can control. Number one, you need to be a great self-leader. Number two, a great leadership team doesn't just happen, you know, organically. You need to structure that leadership team. So there's some great tools in the book about how to structure that leadership team now and how to project your business out plan your business out and figure out what that structure needs to be in the future. That's number two. Number three is you need to find the right people for the leadership team. How do you, whether it's hiring from within or hiring externally, how do you find those people that are going to be amazing A players and fit within your culture on the leadership team? Number four, you need to define the right culture of the leadership team, a culture of vision, a culture of values, a culture of vulnerability and trust. Number five, you need to execute with discipline every single day with accountability. And number six, you need to be developing and improving as a leadership team, assessing your talent, learning new things, challenging each other every single day. So those are the six areas. But the one thing that I would suggest for leaders out there is I actually have, and I mentioned this earlier, is number one, of course, I've got to play sales guy. Number one, I'd suggest you read the book, Breakthrough Leadership Team, and you share it with the rest of your leadership team. But there's a great assessment called the Breakthrough Leadership Team Assessment, which I understand, Keith, it's on my site at mike-goldman.com. But Keith, I think you'll be offering it as well on the Gravitas Impact site. But the Breakthrough Leadership Team Assessment is a quick assessment, 30 questions you and your leadership team can take that assesses those six key areas I mentioned, helps you understand where you're strong, where you need some help, and will help you figure out which actions are going to have the biggest impact for you right now.
And Mike, I think I just heard you say the entire leadership team takes the assessment and then the results are consolidated as a team, correct?
As a team, but you also see the individual answers. So you can get an idea of where you've got alignment as a leadership team and where you may be on very different pages.
Okay, great. And those listening in, you can find that also at gravitasimpact.com/resources. We'll make the link to Mike's assessment available there too. So as we come to a close, Mike, a final comment or guidance to the listening audience.
My final guidance is kind of where we started off is I want you all to understand that if you want a great company, it starts with a great leadership team. And if it starts with a great leadership team, it's got to start with you looking in the mirror. It's very easy to point the finger at other members of the leadership team or this department's doing this or not doing that. You've got to look at the mirror, in the mirror. You've got to bring it every day, be the best you can be, and make sure that whether you're the CEO or just a member of the leadership team, that you are taking that awesome responsibility and accountability to make sure that team is getting better and better consistently and never ending, better and better every single day.
Okay, the Breakthrough Leadership Team, strengthening the heart and soul of your company with author Mike Goldman. Mike, thank you again for joining us today.
Keith, thank you.
And thank you everyone for listening in. Again, you can go to gravitasimpact.com/resources and make sure you pick up a copy of the Breakthrough Leadership Team, which will be available in print, but also will be coming out on Audible in the near future too. Thanks for listening in, everyone.
For more valuable content and actionable resources, visit www.gravitasimpact.com.